Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science. Every Thursday, I pick a topic that really interests me and that I know something about, hopefully, and hopefully it interests you. And again, thanks for everybody. I'm getting emails and people seem to be enjoying them, so thanks for the positive feedback. I don't mind getting negative feedback either, by the way. Although I have had a couple of negative things about the music being too loud. You can't please everybody, but still, I hope people are enjoying it. Now, this week, aliens, the science of extraterrestrial life. I've covered this before. But it's massively in the news in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm going to tell you an update. Is there life out there somewhere? I think part of the motivation, at least my motivation for looking into it, was the movie Romulus. Now, the Alien franchise is fantastic. I don't know whether people like that movie, those movies. I remember seeing Alien myself, and it really got me thinking about scientific things, I must say, when I was a teenager. And the latest installment is called Romulus. The storyline is there's these astronauts, they decide to salvage a spacecraft. The spacecraft is called Renaissance. It's a medical research facility that's been abandoned. There's a sign there saying don't go in, right? But they go into this medical facility, and what do they find? The xenomorphs, as they're called, the alien life form. So it's in the news because of that movie. It's also in the news, by the way, because a couple of weeks ago, the closing of the Olympics, if people watch that, and I happen to watch them, there's a scene in the closing ceremony where a golden figure descends into the stadium. Do you remember that bit? And then it ends on up on Earth, goes to Greece, excavates the evidence for the Olympics. And I looked it up. That was to commemorate France's contribution to the Voyager mission. Now, in 1977, NASA sent a spacecraft into space called Voyager to go way, way, way into space. It's now 24 billion kilometers from Earth. It's left our solar system. And the goal is that maybe an alien will pick up the Voyager spacecraft and learn about the Earth. And on that spacecraft, there's all kinds of things, including discs that the aliens can play. And they were made in France. And on those discs are 55 languages, Chuck Berry. There's a bit of music on it as well. So the idea behind the artist who put this into the Olympics was they're imagining that an alien indeed finds the spacecraft in sometime in the future and then comes to Earth, and that golden figure was the alien arriving on Earth and then excavating. The Earth, of course, had been destroyed by then, disturbingly. But they excavate in Greece and they get the Olympics going again. That was the motivation behind that. So that was interesting. A little bit of science in the closing ceremony. But that Voyager spacecraft, it's 24 billion kilometres, as I say, away. It's left our solar system. It's travelling at 17 kilometres per second, an amazing speed. And that means if it flew overhead, you wouldn't see it. It's going so fast. And it's in the news again. Item number three to make this topic so current. There was a glitch on the Voyager. They couldn't communicate with it. And it's amazing they can communicate with it anyway because it's so far away. But it stopped communicating. But they fixed the glitch a couple of weeks ago. They can now communicate again with the Voyager spacecraft. Isn't that great? They had to bring back people from the 70s who'd worked on it, trying to figure it out. Can you imagine the technology back in 1977? Was quite primitive the way we look at it now. So those people who worked on it came back in and they fixed the glitch, which is tremendous. Now, the other reason this is in the news and why I want to cover it is they've yet more evidence that there may have been life on Mars, or that Mars might be a place where life might develop. Now, NASA's mission Perseverance is up on Mars at the moment. And what's incredible is there's several little spacecraft beetling around on the surface of Mars as we speak, doing various things. And Perseverance is up there. That is a $2.7 billion mission, incredibly, to see if there's evidence for life. And now it is reported they've found a rock which has evidence that it may have had life. And the evidence is this rock that's been found. It's been found in the Jezero crater up on Mars. And Jezero is a place where maybe conditions are right for life. And they found a rock full of organic compounds, carbon-based compounds. And of course, we are a carbon-based life form, and carbon is an ideal element to form complex organic molecules which could go on to form living systems. So they found lots of carbon-based compounds. But probably even more impressively, they found a thing called hematite in the rock. Now, hematite is an iron phosphate compound that's very good as a source of energy. And we see hematite on Earth as a source of energy for living systems. So lo and behold, now they have a source of energy. They've got the carbon-based molecules. And then the third thing they've found, And this is the InSight lander that's up on Mars as well, has detected water. Liquid water has been found on Mars. Now, that's kind of headline news, at least it has been for us scientists, because now there's liquid water on Mars. Now, it's at least 10 kilometres below the surface. And they reckon it's leached down well below the surface as oceans of liquid water, they think, on the Mars. Now, how do they get the evidence? Well, first of all, the evidence from the Perseverance was they've got various mass spectrometers up there and they can send information back to Earth on what the chemical constituents are of that piece of rock. And now it's reporting this hematite. In the case of the InSight lander, that was sent up there partly to measure earthquakes. And earthquakes are happening on Mars all the time, it turns out. And based on the detection of the earthquakes, they can tell the kind of material that the vibrations have gone through, which is very clever really, isn't it? And they say it's gone through liquid water. So they were able to show by the signature that it must have travelled through liquid water. And that's where the evidence comes from. So 10 kilometres below the Martian surface, there is liquid water. So you're ticking three boxes there now. You've got the carbon-based organic molecules, you've got a source of energy with hematite, and now there's water. And they are things that we need for living systems, certainly on Earth and maybe anywhere. So in other words, it's all circumstantial, of course, but there's evidence of these sort of features being on Mars. Now, on Earth, if you see hematite and you see carbon-based molecules, there's evidence that there are microbes there. So again, that's part of the circumstantial evidence to suggest that what's up there on Mars may have been a remnant or a signature of life, or life conditions could be set for life to emerge on Mars, is the overall idea. Now, the other piece of news, literally in the last few days, I mean, it's been a very busy time for the notion of extraterrestrial life, is artificial intelligence. Now, for decades, there's been a thing called the search for extraterrestrial intelligence has been going on in America. And this is searching for radio waves. And the idea there is that if there is intelligent life out there, it would have invented radio, and those radio signals should be detectable. And it's been going on for a long time, trying to detect radio waves from space. And guess what? They've found nothing. It must be the most depressing of jobs. Every year they say, yep, still nothing. And years go by and they still don't detect any radio waves. Now, they haven't detected any radio waves yet, but they've souped up the effort. And there are now 28 large antennae trying to pick up these radio waves. But more importantly, they're using artificial intelligence to analyse the data. The data comes in and, like, you know, what, 20 years ago, they were trying to detect the radio waves, of course, using various computer technologies. But now, the advances in AI mean they can measure an awful lot more data per unit time. And it's absolutely remarkable. This effort is detecting 2 terabytes of data per second. Now, terabytes are a massive amount of data. On your laptop, you've 1 terabyte in total stored there. Okay, and that's a lot of information on your laptop, remember. And this AI system can now analyze 2 terabytes per second. Now, what this means is the scope is massive. The bandwidth has increased. They were trying to detect radio waves at a certain frequency. That's now widened massively because of this. So they're trying really hard to detect radio waves using artificial intelligence. And who knows? They may well detect it. And the second thing is there's a thing called Breakthrough Listen, which is part of this mission, funded by private investors, by the way. $100 million has been into this, which is a huge amount of money. And they are trying to detect radio waves and also optical signals from 1 million stars and 100 galaxies. So they're scanning the universe, at least 100 galaxies worth and a trillion stars worth of information, to see if they can detect radio waves or optical signatures that would be indicative of intelligent life. So really, it's sort of very active at the moment. And they reported again, literally a few days ago, 8 potential alien signals have been detected. Now, you think that'd be all over the news. They've detected 8 pieces of data saying there's aliens. It's not quite true. It's suggestive, and they're analysing it and trying to see if that's the case, that these signals they're detecting are either radio or optically based. But they're beginning to get hints of something. Now, I think it's a long way off claiming that they've found extraterrestrial life, but still there's been progress. And of course you'd hope analysing 2 terabytes of data per second should help us detect any radio waves that might be out there. Now, of course, the challenge here is, you know, the alien life form that's out there could well have died off. It takes a lot of time for this stuff to reach us. Or on the other hand, we might die off and then eventually there'll be alien evidence. You know, so you never know. The timing of these things is over the course of billions of years, remember. So it is a huge challenge, isn't it, to see if we'd ever pick up this tiny, tiny needle in a cosmically sized haystack. But still, it's not for want of trying. Now, you might wonder why bother. Well, it would be remarkable if we find evidence for life, not just on Earth, won't it, for a start? But second, because that means life isn't that special after all. We always thought we were special, but science keeps telling us we're not. So if we find evidence for life beyond Earth, that'll be really interesting scientifically, by the nature of life, the way life is. Of course, the other thing to say briefly is there's this Goldilocks thing. There's loads of planets out there in the Goldilocks zone, which means they're in the right kind of sort of situation where life could develop, not too hot, not too cold kind of idea. So that gives us more hope that we may find life out there. But more importantly, this business of the AI being used, if you can analyze 2 terabytes of data per second, that could be deployed on Earth, couldn't it, to analyze data, say in a medical context or any kind of situation. So as ever, these efforts in space are giving rise to spin-offs that could be useful on Earth. And of course, the Apollo mission famously gave rise to modern computers, remember. Without the Apollo mission, we wouldn't have the computer technology we have now, or at least it wouldn't have developed as quickly. So again, we're seeing spin-outs from this that could be useful for us here on Earth, and that justifies it, in my opinion. And you might say, why not spend the money on other things on Earth? Well, scientists want to do this. They're hungry for knowledge, hungry for adventure, hungry for discovery, and then there's useful spin-outs will just come from this curiosity-driven research, and that justifies it in so many ways. So you never know. We may eventually get a signal one day that says alien life exists. Let's hope it doesn't come and visit us like a xenomorph to kill us all. But still, I'm wondering now when we will get the first evidence for this. Will it be in my lifetime? Will that be amazing? So, the science of extraterrestrial life and advances in that area. And thanks, as ever, for listening. And my podcast is a News Talk production, available for download every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks very much.